Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, taking you through this beautiful Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time to talk a little NFL Combine. And to help us do that, we're going to bring in our friend Michael Middlehurst-Schwartz from USA Today. And Michael, first off, let me say, obviously we had a lot going on yesterday with the tornadoes coming through our area. You were originally scheduled to join us yesterday. So thanks so much for being kind enough to rearrange your schedule and come on with us here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. And obviously some intrigue around here out of Jared Pinkney out of Vanderbilt and Jawan Jennings out of Tennessee, neither of which, from a measurable standpoint, had good days at the NFL Combine. How much do you think that's going to hurt those two guys specifically once the NFL draft comes around?
I think it could end up hurting them. I think for Pinkney, he's an interesting case just because the tight end class really isn't that strong. You don't have any surefire guy to even go in the first two rounds, really. So you also saw at the Combine a number of other tight ends struggling, so it was kind of an across-the-board effect, but it obviously continued kind of a disappointing trend for him just in terms of the last year or so. And just not showing off that NFL-level athleticism, looking a little bit rigid. So he still has a good chance to land with a team that looks for that big-bodied skill set, but it might be a little bit longer of a wait than he would have hoped for. And then for Jennings, I think it's a little bit different case just because this wide receiver class is so loaded and you have so many athletic options in the first three rounds or so. So posting the subpar 40 time and vertical leap are going to raise questions about exactly what role he can fill in the NFL. That doesn't mean that he can't find success there, but it's going to raise a number of questions of how do you utilize this guy.
Yeah, I really think Jennings shouldn't have run. He should have just gone at his pro day and left it at that. But another Vanderbilt guy who really intrigues me, Michael, guy I think has been underrated, and I think he would work well staying here. But Keyshawn Vaughn at running back, what do you think about him, and what do you think about his prospects here moving forward?
Yeah, he's an interesting package. I think you saw him, fare decently at the Combine, sort of mostly what we would have expected, a pretty, well-rounded performance, but nothing completely eye-popping. He's probably, a little bit behind that, first group of running backs that is able to boast those, really great athletic traits of Wisconsin's Jonathan Taylor and Ohio State's J.K. Dobbins and so forth, but he's got a pretty intriguing package as a runner, particularly in a zone running scheme. So I think that he's, maybe that sort of backup developmental option that you look for on day three. And then, he gets in the right scheme and, he can do some things. But his pro future will depend a lot on team fit.
Michael, when you look at the combine as a whole, obviously, front office staffs and general managers, they've got a lot to weigh when it comes to determining how much value to put into to selecting a player in the draft. How much can a really good day at the NFL Combine really change where teams have these prospects in their draft pool? And conversely, how much can a really bad day go the other way? Like, how much stock do you think NFL GMs put into the measurables at the Combine?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mixed bag. I think that, for one, the on-field workouts are only part of the combine picture. A lot of times the the medical evaluations as well as the team interviews are really what teams are placing a lot more weight on. But as far as the on-field workouts, I think that it kind of depends on what caliber player you're dealing with. I think that if there was someone like Jennings or Pinkney, where particularly Jennings, where he was able to produce on the field, you know, in a conference like the SEC, and those numbers come up, then you kind of have to have the conversation, what does this mean? You know, is this a guy that we're confident he can, you know, continue this production despite not having optimal NFL athleticism? And what does that mean for how much we value him? So, and, you know, on the flip side, if there's someone who comes out of nowhere to do great athletic testing, you know, that can be promising, but if it doesn't show up on tape, it doesn't really mean a lot. And, you know, Bruce Arians had a quote about this at the combine of, you know, it's great to have 4.4 speed, but if you're a 4.6 guy on the field, you know, there's nothing that NFL teams can really do with that. So I think it's mostly just that, you know, it can help players, you know, especially if they're really good players who end up with elite testing, or, you know, players who are kind of on the fence who end up with bad testing can be hurt by it. But you really have to look at the complete package.
Michael, what did you think of the move to prime time for the testing? We're stuck with this, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't think that's going anywhere for a little while. It obviously was a pretty big shift in the schedule. You saw a number of players pull up with hamstring injuries and other issues, and also just saw various players sit out some of the testing because, you know, this is essentially a pilot program of you're trying to figure out how to, you know, conduct all of your interviews and, you know, be up all day and then be waiting to test until well into the evening. So, you know, I don't think that it's necessarily the best format for players, and in some cases teams as well. But, you know, it's the NFL Combine is, and the NFL Draft are big business now, and there's plenty of demand to watch those drills in prime time. So, yeah, like you said, I don't think that's going anywhere for the foreseeable future.
Michael Schwartz on the line with us from USA Today. Michael, last thing for you here. Jalen Hurts is kind of an intriguing guy, obviously familiar to fans around here from his time at Alabama, but making the shift to Oklahoma last year, had a really productive season. Strong showcase for him in the 40-yard dash and the broad jump at the combine. What do you make of Jalen Hurts as an NFL prospect at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I think he's becoming an intriguing sort of second-day guy, that, you know, sort of second to third round area. You know, obviously the big buzz in this class is about Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow, but, you know, kind of beyond them and the other potential first-round quarterbacks, you do have some interesting developmental guys, and I think that Jalen Hurts is someone who's starting to pick up steam as, you know, someone you can store for a couple years, maybe see what you have, try to bring him along a little bit. You know, the big issue with him is sort of throwing with anticipation and just becoming a, you know, more decisive thrower early in plays. But you saw him improving his, you know, downfield accuracy a little bit. That's another question, but, you know, he just has that playmaking knack. And, I think that teams are, you know, really intrigued by what he can do. So I think that he's someone who you're not going to see starting, you know, his first year or two, but, you could see him come off the board sort of in the round 2 to 3 area, and then a team tries to bring them along, maybe see what they have in terms of a potential starter.
Michael Schwartz from USA Today has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Michael, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us this morning, man. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Absolutely. And just an intriguing set of circumstances for some local guys. You know, Jared Pinkney, I think his numbers in the 40-yard dash were the worst among tight ends at the entire combine. Jawan Jennings, same thing at the receiver position. And look, you turn on the film, and I think both of those guys have certainly had flashes of brilliance throughout their college careers at the SEC level. I do wonder, though, how much those measurables will affect their draft position come April.
Yeah, I'm probably some. You know, it's, I mean, Pinckney is an interesting case because, you know, you talk about the film. There's not a lot of film of him doing much in the 2019 season because he didn't get the ball. But I still think Jared Pinckney is absolutely an NFL tight end. Like, could be a, you know, starting quality tight end in the NFL. And I think a lot of Juwan Jennings is a pro too. I really do. He's a great example of the film versus the drills. But it wasn't just running, like his vertical, everything. He came off very unathletic. I really think it was a misplay on his part to run there. I didn't think he would run there. You know, guys run better. The clock's a little kinder to guys at their pro day.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll run better there. You see it every
he's
year.
He's going to go from a 4.73 to like a 4.45.
Yeah, 4.38.
Yeah. It's going to be incredible how much speed that Juwan Jennings is able to gain here in the next few weeks.
Just cut out carbs for a couple of weeks, and boom, you know, he's running a 4.3. Look, he was never going to blow anybody away with his speed, but that's like a number you're like, geez. I'm going to be really interested. Juwan Jennings, as Michael pointed out, the interviews are so key, obviously. And Juwan Jennings, I haven't seen anything on this. I'm fascinated to know how teams evaluated him because he is just personality that takes over a room. And there's no doubt if you're really interested in him as a prospect and you studied him, I mean, he was the heart and soul of that program.
Absolutely.
Even though he was far from perfect and got in trouble and all that stuff, and at times emotion got the best of him, like I could see a team totally falling in love with him, but I also think that right now it's hard to argue that he hasn't hurt his stock or that his stock hasn't taken a hit here.
And that's why I think it's interesting, and I asked Michael about this too, in terms of when you're an NFL general manager, like there's a whole bunch you've got to weigh heading into this process. And sometimes I think there have been teams in the past that maybe let the combine measurables affect things too much and they put too much stock in them. You got to find a balance if you're a general manager of, okay, here were his measurables that he ran at the combine. Here's the interview. Here's, you know, the game film, I think, which is probably still the most important
yes.
thing to me anyway.
Oh, easily.
I mean, and you have to find a way to balance out all of those things. And some teams do a much better job at that than others. I mean, some teams are so, oh, he ran this at the combine, he's not going to be any good. Like, I don't think you can operate that way anymore at the NFL level.
Right. I mean, you know, there's, you know, all kinds of, it's almost like recruiting stars in college football. Like, I'll tell you all kinds of 1 and 2 stars who are in the NFL and all kinds of 5 stars who aren't. And it's sort of like, you know, Jerry Rice ran a 4.6, greatest receiver ever. I did, like last year, I thought DK Metcalf, you know, was gonna have his stock inflated beyond what it should have been because what did he run? A 4.33? Is that right? I think he ran a 4.33. He was the talk of the combine. And, you know, to me, he was not nearly the player in college A.J. Brown was. They were teammates, but A.J. Brown was clearly the better player. Well, he went in the second round. I thought that was high. He had a good year. He had a good year with Seattle. But, like, I thought maybe that it'd be one of those things where he'd jump even higher than that just because teams were enamored with that. He still would have gone lower for sure, I think, had he not run that well. But, yeah, it's really – I largely like to dismiss all those things unless you're extreme one way or the other. If you run about what you're supposed to run, go to the film.
Absolutely. When we come back, whether the Titans sign Tom Brady or they bring Ryan Tannehill back here next year, they're going to need a backup quarterback at some point along the way. What's the best route the Titans should go in order to accomplish that? We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot.
Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.